First Kings chapter 21. First Kings chapter 21. Sometimes you get thinking about things and you're scared you're going to have to get up. Maybe you get to meeting and you look at others and then you're scared you're not going to be able to get up. Then you get up here and you wish you wouldn't have got up. Well, we're not going to go that far, but something I've been thinking about, and I'd actually spoken on it just recently in Sussex, but have still been thinking about it a little bit. It's an interesting story in 1 Kings chapter 21, and it's just a little picture, and there's some lessons that we can learn about this. We look at this story and we see the desires of an evil, wicked king, and they were luckily matched only by his wicked wife, Jezebel. So here's the story. We're just going to read part of it. 1 Kings 21, verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. It was right next to the palace of the king. And Ahab said unto Naboth, he spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house, heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken unto him. For he had said, well, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would no more It would eat no bread. Now, the only thing that's worse than a sucking child is a sucking adult. And here you have Ahab is sulking because he couldn't have what he wanted. Verse 5, but as Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he spake unto her, and he tells her the story. Verse 7, Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So then letters are written. Naboth is given a celebration, and right in the middle of the celebration, according to Jezebel's plan, some men come out and accuse him of blaspheming against God and the king. And then verse 10, the last phrase says, carry him out and stone him that he may die. And then it takes place. Verse 13, the last part, they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And then when Jezebel hears that, verse 15, she takes the possession. In the middle of the verse, she says, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. It's a rather strange and twisted story concerning Ahab and his desire to have something that really was not his. But there's some wonderful lessons. Somebody had prayed that there would be something that we would leave with that would be encouraging. I would like you to leave encouraged in the assembly. I want to look at this little garden as a picture of a New Testament assembly. Something that God has planted and that God has given in our responsibility. And what are we going to do with it? And so as we recap the story, Ahab, he is a king, and he is looking. This obviously is not my garden. Every spring when I go to plant it, say, okay, this year is going to be different. I will weed it all the time. I will water it. Well, it turned out dry this year, and it the seeds weren't going, and my garden is not like Naboth's vineyard. And so Naboth has a vineyard. If you were to come to the New Testament when the Lord Jesus is speaking, at least on one occasion, he speaks of a vineyard. And he says a man had a vineyard, he planted a vineyard. Reminds us that God really plants a New Testament assembly. And in the vineyard that the Lord Jesus tells about, not only did he plant the vineyard, but he set a hedge about it. Now, the hedge would remind us of something. But not only was there a hedge, but there was a tower. And so a hedge reminds us that in the New Testament assembly, and I think we can call it that because in 1 Corinthians we have it that it's God's tilled field. It's God's husbandry is what the King James says. But the hedge would offer protection. And so an assembly, there is protection there. The tower would remind us that there is a watchfulness. There are those that have been set up, and their role really is for the protection, for the watching of the vineyard, of the garden. And then, of course, there's fruit. So there's at least those three things in a New Testament assembly. Now, something I noticed just the other day, Naboth, as he had his garden, it was right where the wicked king was. Now, we don't have to look around very long to realize that we are part of something that is in the middle of the enemy's land. Now, something that I just noticed a couple of days ago is that Jezreel, the name actually means God will sow. And so for 2,000 years, beginning in the book of Acts, we have seen where God has planted different assemblies, and a New Testament assembly will have a hedge. It is a place of protection. It is a place of order. I don't have any vines in my garden or any grapes, but sometimes you'll be driving by, and many of us know Wilma, and a few of us have seen Wilma's garden. I hate seeing Wilma's garden and then going back to mine. Hers is very orderly, and she has vines, and there is an order to it. Well, Naboth's garden, there would be an order. Well, a New Testament assembly also has an order. We learn a lot of that in 1 Corinthians and also in some of the other epistles as well. And so Jezreel, God will sow. One of the other things, Naboth, his name means fruits. Interestingly, you'd think that it would be in the singular, but then I was reminded that what is the fruit of the Spirit is actually, it's singular, but I think there's seven or nine things there's a plural of things that are found. Now, that's just by the wayside, you can develop that. But here is Naboth. He sees something that has its order, he sees it for its beauty, and he is looking out, and he begins to covet what is not his. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but Naboth had it as a vineyard. Ahab wanted it for growing herbs. And so I think there's a lesson there in the world around. The world around is looking like Ahab for things that appeal to the senses. And luckily, nothing against herbs. Sometimes they make food taste pretty good. And like my grandson, I do like my food. And I like it with a bit of spice. But here is Ahab, and he saw something that was set apart, and he wanted it for something that would appeal to the senses. And so he says to Naboth, give me your vineyard. Now, we're not told how much Naboth was offered. He was offered a better vineyard, which doesn't really make sense. If Ahab had a better vineyard, why would he be willing to trade it? But Ahab is really a picture of Satan. And he is out for what God has planted, what God has sown. And so the assembly which you are a part of, which I am a part of, let us never forget that there is an enemy. And he would like to infiltrate. He would like to, if he could, make it his own. I was thinking of it this week. Maybe he doesn't necessarily want the people to be gone. The assembly is the people, not this building. There's all kinds of buildings in O'Leary. But you know what? The enemy would like nothing better. If we reduce what we are doing for God and keeping for God, if we would reduce it for nothing more than just to appeal to the census. We were talking, I forget who it was, we were talking just the other day, I think it was on Sunday. This is when we are given ministry or when we are speaking in the gospel, we are not appealing to emotion. We shouldn't be. Sometimes it may cause emotion, but really when we are speaking from the Word of God, whether it be in the gospel or in ministry or whatever way, we are really appealing to the mind, to the intellect. And so anyway, that's in connection with the herbs. And so he makes this offer to Ahab. Give me what you have and I'll give you something better. Did you ever wonder why Naboth wouldn't give up what he had? Well, if you went back in at least two occasions, in Numbers and possibly Deuteronomy, but there's two books. When the land is being divided, when the children of Israel come into the land of Israel, when they come out of the desert, when the land was divided, they were told, this land is to remain with you. It is not to be sold. Now, lots of people had done it, but I think Naboth, he had got a hold of this. What I have here, yes, it is in my name, maybe, but really, this is not mine to sell. And I wonder if we have ever, if we're conscious of that when we are in God's assembly. That we really, we have been given the stewardship of it. We've been given the care of it. But really, it is God's. And we are responsible to Him. And so, Naboth, he is given this wonderful offer. And he refuses. He saw the value in God's assembly. I wonder, do I value the assembly like I should? Do I value the assembly like my parents did? Now, I look here and most of us are second or third generation Christians. And nobody here, and not because I was there, but nobody was alive, was part of this assembly when it was formed in Springfield. Some here go back a long ways, but we have been giving something, we've been handed something from God, and He is expecting us to carry it on. And so, how do I do that? Well, Naboth understood from the Old Testament scriptures that what he was part of was passed down from God, and he was responsible for it. And so, in an assembly, one of the things that we looked at the tower. That reminds us of, at least to me, of oversight. The hedge reminds us of protection, but it also reminds us of separation. Now, it doesn't mean that we stay away from the world, but there needs to be a distance. There are things that they do that I should not be comfortable with. There's a separation, so there's the hedge. But there's, I'm thinking of the fruit of an assembly. Now, I don't suppose Naboth had this vineyard and didn't expect fruit. And when you come to the New Testament, the men who planted the vineyards, the time came when they were seeking fruit. Well, has it ever occurred to you? Does it occur to me that God is looking at this assembly in O'Leary and He's expecting to see fruit? And so, does he see fruit? Does he see things that delight his heart? Well, there's things in the assembly that you and I can be engaged in. And when we do them, God sees it as fruit. Now, I was thinking when Ethan was praying, and good for you, Ethan, for praying. That is one of the things that delights the heart of God. It's the fruit of our lips. Whether it be in a prayer meeting night, often we give thanks to God, or if it's, and we can lift up our supplications, our petitions, our requests. But on a Sunday morning, when men understand their responsibility, I know I've often said this, but when I was just young, and it doesn't seem like that many years ago, but it's over 30 years ago, and I can, that hall is not there, but the old Crapo Hall, we would go down on a Saturday evening, David and I, to the Bible studies. And I can remember Peter Orszag still, just like it was right there, and he said, the least that we can do, and he was talking to David, and I said, the least that you can do is give God thanks for his son. He said, even if it's 10 seconds. And I remember thinking, yeah. You know what I remember thinking back when I was that age? If I get up every second or third week and give thanks to God, that would be enough. And then it struck me, no, that's not enough. And so maybe I don't give thanks every Sunday, but I try to. And so that is one thing that I can encourage our younger brethren, is to be exercising, to be mindful, to have it in your mind that I am going to give God some fruit. I'm going to be active in worship, in prayer. You know, praying is as difficult as it is. You might think it's difficult. It is not something that requires gift. Public speaking, I suppose, requires gift. It requires exercise. But when it comes to you as a male taking part, other than the sweating and the shaking, really does not require gift. And lots of times when I take part in other places, I still get that knot in my stomach. Maybe I'm a little more comfortable here. Hopefully I'm not too comfortable here. But that is something that, my brethren, that you can be exercised in, is to take part. Other things that we can do that in fruit is to be helpers. Now, helpers, being a helper is a gift. And that is something that the ladies can do, men can do. God expects us to use things that we have been given. Sometimes you get up here and you forget what the words you are that you want to use, but different things, different talents, different abilities, and we can use them. And so there's worship. There is gospel. There's the work of the gospel. Now we might think, okay, gospel work is gospel meetings. Well, gospel work is Sunday school, youth group, attending, it could be a seniors outreach. All these are outreaches of the gospel. Now, I'm not saying that everybody needs to come to every one of these, but these are things that you and I can be thinking about, we can be praying about, and maybe we can even help out. So when the gospel is being spread, ahead to verse here, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 8, it says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, and it says, and it lists two places, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so we need not speak anything. So there are things that we can do in God's assembly that produce fruit. There's something else that I can do. The writer of the Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 10, he says, if you want to be careful in your Christian life, if you want to put your effort and your energy into the things of God in the local assembly, something you can do is to be mindful, not to neglect or not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Now, that's the King James rendering, but really what the writer is saying, and I almost said Paul, but we don't know if it's Paul, but really what he is saying is, when your assembly has come together to meet, be there. He says, don't forsake it. Don't neglect it. And so, one of the things that I think of is non-negotiables. Do I have non-negotiable? I don't go to work without having breakfast. Maybe that shows. And there's lots of things that I have in my life, and I say, those are non-negotiable. Now, I remember my parents growing up. If there was a meeting, especially in Springfield, we were there. Have I learned that? Well, that is one way that I can contribute and I can uphold my responsibility to the local assembly. As a Naboth, he would have given all kinds of diligence and attendance to his vineyard. And so the same should be expected of us. Now, I'm going to bring this to a close. The last thing, well, two other things. So we put work into it. We've sort of been talking about that. 1 Corinthians 3, you can read it. There we see that the assembly is God's tilled field, his cultivated garden. And Paul says, I've planted, Apollos water, but it is really God that gives the increase. And there he goes and he's talking about putting our effort and our energy and putting our material into the local assembly. But the last lesson, and luckily the hardest lesson about Naboth. Did you ever think of what Naboth gave? As Naboth looked at his garden, maybe he considered the offer that was given to him, and maybe he had no idea what was going on in the background. And maybe for you and I, maybe it's good that we don't know the thoughts of the enemy as they look at God's assembly here in O'Leary. But as Naboth had said, I am not going to sell it. You know what was being set in motion? It was the plot, the scheme that would see Naboth give his life for what he believed. And so maybe you and I won't be counted on to give our life literally for the assembly. But if it came to it, would we? Some parts of the world, they do. But what I was appreciated this way, Naboth, as he went out that day, he literally gave his life for a little patch of ground that he knew God had put in his hands. Maybe if we don't get anything else other than some of the things we've been looking at, is to consider this. Am I willing to give my life, whichever way, maybe not physically, but am I willing to at least pour my energy, my efforts, my abilities into God's little assembly? Am I willing to let it cost me? Naboth gave his life for what God counted holy and had committed to his hand. And so, as I sit down, just a little, hopefully an encouragement for you and I, that we would hold what we've been given. That we would see the value in God's vineyard, God's local assembly. And that while maybe I won't be called to give my life, possibly, but could I at least give my life in this regard, that really it is number one in my life? That I move in it, I do what I can. If I'm asked to do something, I do it. If I'm asked not to do something, then I don't get all sooky like Ahab. But that I would put my life, my energies, into something that maybe to the world seems so small. Why do you go up to O'Leary every Thursday night? Well, that's where God wants me to be. God expects us to contribute to be ready for the Bible study. You know, Michael and I were talking, it just sort of hit me the other day. We never announce our Sunday evening prayer meeting. And it struck me, Sunday said, we should be announcing it, because if we are going to see fruit, if we are going to see results in the gospel, there needs to be associated with it prayer. Murray McCandless often says, somebody had asked him why he preaches the way he does. He said, I preach like it depends on me. But he said, I pray like it depends on God. See, he understands that for God to work, we need to lay hold on him. So the Sunday evening prayer meeting is a vital part. Now, I know not everybody can make it, but we should make an effort. This prayer meeting here is vital to our health and well-being in assembly life, where maybe what we're thinking of in the daytime, we can come together collectively as one and lift as an assembly our requests and prayers to God. So these are just a few things that hope will be an encouragement and just a little lesson from an event in the Old Testament that we can see traces of it, not traces. It is a picture of what God values in the New Testament, even in this day, as we try to serve him.